Morning. It's so good to be back. We spent a good 3 months in Cambodia and finally back with my favorite wife. And I'm so glad to be back in Long Beach at this place. So glad to be get out of the Zoom room finally. Meet you in person. You know, it was kind of a shocker to me as I came and Mike Newsom greeted me and I, wow, he was so big. He's only this small in the monitor, but same Mike. So I'm so glad I could share the word of the Lord with you. And actually, I brought a book that I promised that I was going to write. Last time I preached at the Catalyst at Freedom Center, I was given a text to preach, which was Philippians 1:21, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I preached that, and that afternoon I rode my motorcycle all the way to Seattle, and it was a 12-day journey. And it took me 12 days to meditate on this verse, and then I wrote a simple book. I'm so excited for this. Today, I'm so glad you are here because you are going to be set free. Would you tell that to your neighbor? You're going to be set free today. Yeah, we're excited. I'm excited. Let's pray. Father, we want to be set free, Lord. We want to be free. Even before the message, before the service, the intercession team has declared there will be freedom. So come, touch us, because we don't want to live bounded. We don't want to be led by some meaningless force that force us to do things and live in this unhappy state. So make us, Lord, be free. I thank you, I praise you, I give you glory. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. America is a great nation. It's always been. And especially when you travel out of America for periods of time and come back, and there's a sense of this freedom that this nation has. And so it's amazing how when I come back, we have to go through back and forth so many times, even within a year. So we go through this culture shock, you know, minor one, every time we come back. You know, Jenny and I, we stop at the red light, and then we look at each other like, wow, we're not, everybody stopped. It's just like, such a great feeling. Because in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, I'm driving and there's a red signal, and I am torn because my wife says, you better stop. And I said, but honey, there are trucks coming at, they're going to expect me to go on because there's no cars in the other side, no car coming, and they just move on. If you stop, then you may get into wreck. So the kind of freedom that we have because we are what? Keep the rules, right? Keep the rules. There are certain rules when you violate, there should be consequences. And the freedom that I'm talking about is from this disease called unhappiness. I call that disease like a common cold, not like cancer, because cancer is caused by pride. We're talking spiritual language now. We're not talking about traffic law. The spiritual disease called cancer, if you got a spiritual cancer, that probably stems out of pride. But I'm talking about common cold, like just unhappiness. You know, and it's not even like major flu, like body ache, you know, you're in bed. No, it's sort of like a little bit of fever, you feel uncomfortable and you feel agitated and like cough, right? And nobody loses sleep over it. And yet, when I come back to a country like the most prospering nation in the world and find followers of Christ so unhappy, and I ask the following question, why? Why are we so unhappy, right? And it's because you got a disease, right? Where does it stem from? Where is it from? Well, we have to go all the way to the Bible story, to Genesis. In the beginning, humanity came face to face with evil for the first time. Okay, and you have to listen in like innocent Sunday school children now, okay? And you need to respond properly, so I'm going to test you on this. First time the humanity heard the voice of the evil, he called her by name. The Satan said, "Eve." Well, you're supposed to say, "Ooh, wow." Come on, innocent children. You're too tainted. One more time, this side. First time the humanity heard the voice from the evil, she heard, "Eve." The little children go wild. Enemy called us by name. They know you. They know your weakness. They found you when she was alone, just doing her own thing, right? Enjoying, taking a walk, her private walk. If she takes a walk by herself, it's private. With her husband, it's public, because there's only two people. So she has very extreme private and public life. So there she is, taking a private walk. Snake comes and says, "What's up, Eve? What you been up to?" Well, not much. Just enjoying. And can you imagine Garden of Eden? I mean, all kinds of fruit, flowers. Oh, Lord. When a Cambodian man is sent to a market to buy banana, the wife will never say, "Go fetch me some banana." You know why? Because there are 10 different names for 10 different banana in Cambodia. It's like telling an American husband, "Give me some gum." Like, what kind of gum? Right? There's no one gum, one brand gum. But of course, we think there's only one banana. Right? Because, "Honey, can you give me some banana?" Can you imagine Garden of Eden? Like, literally hundreds of different bananas, apples, and Fuji apple, Washington apple, everything's there, man. It's like, it's great. Like, green apple. Satan comes and says, "Wow, look at all this. Did God tell you that you could eat all these things?" "Oh yeah, absolutely. Except that fruit from the tree of knowledge." Oh, why would he say that? Doubt. "Oh, because if I eat it, I'll die for sure." Number one, when evil start talking to you, stop the conversation and walk away. Yeah, you don't have to be nice to evil. Maybe she just kept on, maybe lonely, maybe needed someone to talk to. Adam was busy naming animals out there. And finally, he says, "No, you're not going to die. You are going to become like God. Your eyes will brighten and you're going to understand. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to become like God." See, we are happy. We're not unhappy. God created us to be happy. But when this contamination of the enemy telling you, are you sure your God is good? Are you sure? And then you start, I don't know. Right? I wonder why I cannot have that. And in reference to 100,000 other stuff, you begin to want the stuff. Stuff. We just talked about bag room full of stuff. We're all guilty, right? Why do you have so much stuff? I think it was 3-4 weeks ago in our Long Beach small group Zoom meeting, and we're talking about demon possession and all that. And what say you, Pastor O? I said, you know, honestly, yeah, I mean, we encounter a lot of demon-possessed people. I mean, my wife runs a counseling center, so we have to deal with that almost daily basis. But honestly, the majority of people I met are not possessed with spirit. They're possessed with stuff. They're possessed with possession. Yeah, it's not even, see, in order to be filled with spirit or demon spirit, you need to be at least spiritual. You don't even get to that level. Because you're full of possession. Minds are full of stuff. I want the stuff. Right? We were educated. We're bred to one stuff that we don't want. It's called consumerism. It's called capitalism. The bad side of capitalism. I believe in capitalism. The bad side, the godless capitalism, demands you to buy stuff that you don't want to impress people you don't even like with money you don't even have. So you all use credit card, buy stuff that eventually will end up somewhere in Bangladesh because we throw away so much unused clothing by tens of thousands of 40-foot container is now exported to Bangladesh and they're dirtying up their rivers. That's the reality. We're possessed with possession. And of 100 million different kind of fruit she could have had, she said, wow. And the enemy says, look, Eve, look at it. Ooh, nice. Come on, smell it. Smells nice. Touch it. Oh, it feels nice. Don't you want it? And then she realized, I want it. The unhappiness begins because we're trying to have something that doesn't belong to you. You know, the Netflix just did this crazy stuff. You know, I was in Cambodia and one of the staff came up and said, Pastor O, do you know Squid Game? I'm like, what? What's Squid Games? Oh, it's Netflix sensation, and I heard that it's a Korean game. I'm thinking, what is Squid Game? And then I'm translating to Korean. Ah, Ojingeo! Okay, yes, I know Ojingeo game. Because I played that when I was a little boy in Korea. Okay? And she said, you must watch it. I said, no, not because you're telling me I must watch, I'm not going to watch. Because too many people are watching and going crazy over it. I'm not going to watch. What's it about? It's not about Squid Game. I know Squid Game. I played it. You know what the basis of Squid Game is? Getting stuff that doesn't belong to you. That's the end goal of the game. That's not yours. But now you're going to claim that. Make it yours. And you become winner. Wow. Imagine. I was a little boy, Yeongdeungpo, Korea. You know, you just draw a huge size picture of squid, and you like this, and once you hit certain point, you could run and punch people, throw people out, and the whole squid on the ground is yours. You go, wow, I'm so happy. I got this squid on the dirt. wanting stuff that doesn't belong to you. And demanding someone to become not like them. You know what the end of analysis of what Eve did was? You know what? Why would God not allow me to eat this fruit? I could eat it. And then I could become like God. Matter of fact, not only become like God, I think I could become a better God than him. See, if I'm God, I'm going to allow all fruits to be eaten. That's the final temptation. You know, it's not these days we talk about postmodernism, post-Christianity, and all that. Philosophically speaking, we're living in an era not people think they're God. No, they think they're better than God. It was a great temptation to think that, yeah, we could become like God. No, we're beyond that stage now. But they were way better than God, this traditional Christian God there, man. The utopia we're thinking about is so much better. And that's the temptation. And so the Bible says, today's text, now I need to find my text today, is guard against all kinds of greed. Guard against all kinds of greed. Avoid all kinds of greed. Luke 12:15. All kinds. There are all kinds of greed. You compete, you compare, and you say that, how come I cannot have that? How come I don't live like that? Right? And it's so amazing. We have so much to enjoy in America. I mean, so many free parks and all the beaches in SoCal, it's free, most of it. And there aren't that many people. And I mean, to me, just like coming to SoCal is like coming to paradise, right? It's like you drive 5 minutes and you could find 3 different Japanese food, 5 different Chinese food, 3 different Korean food, 3 different Mexican food. I mean, yeah. You have it all. Great malls, air-conditioned malls, heated pool. I mean, we have it. And yet, living in a place like this, we find ourselves unhappy. Why aren't you so happy? Well, because, you know why? Because it seems like so-and-so is have it better than me. Right? It's like, I think I'm missing out. Why? Well, because so-and-so put on their Facebook, their cruise, again. How many cruises do they go? Why do you care? Because I don't get to go. And even when I have to be very careful about my freedom and my joy of serving God in all these countries, and especially Cambodia, and stop, and they rejoice with me, but at the same time say, oh, I wish I could live like that. I'm like, why don't you? You're free to, but I have to work. I'm working, but it seems like your work is fun work. I could help you, right? Why are we so unhappy? Because greed. See, Satan came to Eve and said, Eve, don't you agree that this fruit looks great? Agree? Agreed. This side didn't get it, so let's try this one. Doesn't it look tasty? Agree? Agreed. There's a greed in agreed. You cannot be unhappy until you agree with the enemy. Oh, don't tell me this. Oh, you don't know where I've been. Tell me about it. Oh, you don't know What kind of family I'm from? Tell me about it. Well, you don't know what kind of father I have. Just tell me about it. I understand. You know, I'm certified lay counselor now. So I understand to connect, to understand. But end of the day, shut up. You talked about your dad for 75 years. Come on, isn't it? Let go. You know, I have not met one Asian guy who doesn't have a father issue, including myself. And I travel the world to know that every male has a father issue. So don't let enemy say that you cannot be happy, you cannot accomplish, you cannot do whatever because of your father. Agreed? Agreed. It's the greed of wanting someone else's father. It's the greed that you say, I wish my father was different. It's the greed not happy with what was given to you by Almighty God. It's a greed, and you agree to that. And it's just, live this kind of unhappy life. You're not stretched and in you know, ICU, anything like that. You make a normal life, you know, happy. Hey, how you doing? I'm okay. How are you? Yeah, I'm good. You know, it's one of those crazy locker room talk that I witnessed. Like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? And they talk and they say, by the way, what's your name? You know, I'm like, wait a minute, you guys don't know each other? You talk like your best buddies, man. So when you said, how are you and all that, it was just, it's a prop. You don't really don't care about what this person's doing. You're just saying it. It means nothing. Have a nice day. What does that mean? You know, I was debating my professor at England, and he said, what's the meaning of have a nice day, Bob? I said, well, it means have a nice day. Do you really mean that? I thought about it. Well, he's just like saying hello. Then he lost meaning, isn't it? What does have a nice day mean if you really mean that? And will it, and pray for that. It just became a greeting. So we live in the time where we just have our being and enjoying this freedom, enjoying this life, and yet mildly have fever, very uncomfortable, unhappy. When you should be the one rejoicing, happy. So your coworkers say, what's up with you, man? We're going through COVID here. So my happiness doesn't belong, does not mandated by the circumstance that I'm living through. I believe in Jesus, man. Jesus is real. I talked to him this morning, and that makes me happy. Amen? Amen. It's the greed that drives us to unhappiness. Then how are we going to overcome? We could talk about your symptoms and your sickness all day long. It doesn't cure you. Behold, I have a cure. Cure is very simple. It starts with repentance, right? You don't have to complete. You don't have to see psychotherapist again and say, oh, pastor told me I'm unhappy. Doctor, what should I do? No, I could tell you right now. Repent of that sin that made you unhappy today. Don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow will never come. Today, what ticked you off today that made you unhappy? You know, I was so happy coming back from Cambodia to LA, and because from Incheon, Korea to LAX, completely empty. Airplane was, thanks to COVID-19, nobody's flying, right? So the old economy, every economy class had a 3-seat to themselves, were lying down, were sleeping, were so happy. Oh, I had 8 hours sleep. So gorgeous, beautiful. I thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I did Peaberry statement. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Peaberry claim. You know, thank you, Jesus. I was so happy until I went and the carousel number 9, Korean Air, claim your carousel number 9. Because I got global entry and all that. I just walk out. I have no luggage. I walk out. And I was so happy until I met my friend. Another pastor, who also, I guess, went to Korea, but he was in first class. Why would a guy who was so happy all of a sudden become unhappy? What the heck, man? You actually flew first class with your wife? It's $8,000 ticket. You spent $16,000? Wow. And of course, we're hat on, mask on. He didn't recognize me. I stepped aside. He went his merry way because first class luggage comes first. Our poor economy people, like a hurdle, we have to wait. Right? And just to rub it in, my luggage came so late, I have to wait. I was so happy, thanking the Lord. Decided, I'm unhappy. Because my friend flies first class. What do you have to do? Repent! It's not his fault. His church is rich, I guess. Because I know he's not flying out of his own salary. I had to repent. I said, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord, that I, once again, God, I'm 60 years old. I should be old enough to know this. I've been following you for 42 years, God. Why am I still competing with my friend? Why am I fighting my friend? I should be fighting the devil, Lord. We're all in this together. And our calling's different, God. You know what $8,000 means to me? I could send so many kids, orphans and college kids, to 1 year tuition in Cambodia, still $500. I could send how many kids through 4 year college with $8,000? That's how I calculate. I'll never fly first class, even if I have money. But different calling. Maybe he's a mega church pastor and maybe that's their tradition. I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm just not comparing. And I repented. I said, I'm so sorry, God. Repent. It's not their fault. It's not your father's, your mother, your family, your church, your circumstance, your boss. Oh, shut up. Your unhappiness was brought you by because you agreed with the enemy. Second, give God thanks. I call that Peaberry claim. Thank you, Jesus. Just say it. Mean it. He will set you free. Your attitude of gratitude will determine the altitude of your position in life. Have the attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your wife who just blew me. Have that attitude of gratitude. Right? That's repent, give God thanks. And third, give it away. Yeah, stuff. Yeah, start with stuff. Yeah, you don't need all that stuff. You don't need 18 different pants, same size. When I lost 60 pounds, I gave away my pant size 38. I gave it all away. Never said, I'm never going back there again. Uh-oh. Just a few days ago, I went to Costco and bought pant size 36. That's it. No more. Yeah. Give it away. Just give away the stuff, give away money. Some people have more money than you could spend in the rest of your life. I was talking, having a meal with a good friend. He owns something like 860 franchise. So he's a billionaire. And we're talking, and he gives away 99% of his income to the Lord. He lives on 1% and lives quite well. There's a thing called reverse tither. Give 90% and live on 10%. So there's actually a book on reverse tithing. J.C. Penney did that, first CEO did that, and people like that. But I never met 99%er. You know, when we talked about it, I said, how do you live like that? How do you live on 91% and give away 99%? He said, well, I pray hour in the morning. First thing he does, pray an hour, and then read a Bible for an hour, and then work all day. And then he spend, before he go to bed, spend 1 hour in prayer. So what's the core of your prayer about? Hearing God's voice. I do things that only God tells me to do. I don't have a plan. He doesn't strategize. He doesn't have a, and he doesn't try to put big number. And I mean, matter of fact, there, he's like helping 67,000 Indian kids in India right now. But it's not about number. It's not about, and it's just, there's an ounce of pride in him. It's just so amazing. Because, you know, trust me, I met enough successful Christian businessmen who treat me like dirt. Because I am a missionary to Cambodia, and you know, I was one point invited to this $500 million building, and he brought his crew, and it's just like huge. Everybody drive Mercedes, Ferrari. Someone drove Ferrari in Korea and met me at Gangnam, and he owns this building, and they just had this attitude, like, what the heck is this? Why do I feel this small? Because they want to make sure that we are a billionaire club, and you beg for some money so we could help you, help some poor kids in Cambodia. I said, no, that's not God I serve. That's not gonna do. I don't need your money, you know. And there's the constant struggle, and yet there are few that I just admire, like, you could be set away from, you could be free. I mean, no, really, what would you do if you had $1 billion today? Honestly, would you still serve the Lord? Gave away 999 million. See, it's until you agree, you can not be unhappy. We are happy because Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is God. And we serve him, and we encounter him, we meet him daily, and we say, God, thank you so much for touching us, ministering to us. And that's what Thanksgiving was about. And Christmas is coming. Be warned. Stand against, guard against all kinds of greed. The word guard against is written in present imperfect second person plural. Present imperfect second imperative. Second person imperative. It means not an option. Guard, ya'al, using Texas. Second person plural. It's not like you got choice. And I love Korean translation. Korean translation changed it not from guard, get rid of it. Get rid of it. This satanic, demonic temptation constantly tells you to live an unsatisfactory life because you are competing, comparing, I don't know why. And telling God, why can't you let me have life that others have? I'm so unsatisfied with my life now. When you should be thanking God, God, I'm so sorry I did that. I give you thanks. And whatever I own, Lord, I willingly, cheerfully give that I could be set free from greed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, there's no excuses, Lord. We cannot make any more excuses for the kind of attitude we have, Lord, when we have so much. You blessed us with so much stuff and life and opportunities, and just to live in America, Lord, what privilege it is that. So Holy Spirit, God, come, set us free. We repent now, Lord. I will repent daily, Lord, whatever thing that makes us to be unhappy, Repent. Repent. And we give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Really, Lord. Why did you take that cross all the way for us? And yet we were sinners, oh God. Oh, we give you glory. We give you thanks. Give thanks, Lord, to you. And Lord, we say that, Lord, all this blessing that looking back this year, God, we want to give away generously. The generous heart, Father, will take the disease away. The self-centeredness, Lord, that keep us unhappy, the disease, be kept away, Father, having the attitude of gratitude. Be thankful and be generous, Lord God, to those who are in need, toward each other. The world suffers, Lord, tremendously. Hearing of the news of people really literally go hungry because they have no means to eat of the COVID-19. So thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you that we could come together as Catalyst, as a family, and worship you, God, and take this space and occupy and see us each other face to face and hug and shake hands. And Father, what glorious, glorious thing that is, Lord. So we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and thanks. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.